Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Jones. Bowden.
He's got it. England have won the World Cup by the barest of margins.
Hello and welcome to the Analyst Inside Cricket, looking back at the fourth day's play from Chennai. It's freezing cold and it's snowing outside here in the UK, but the heat and performance of England in Chennai has certainly warmed our hearts, looking at that lovely sunny weather. But Simon, have they jeopardised their chances of winning this first test with their slightly strange tactics on the fourth day at the end of play?
Well, we'll find out on the fifth day. Hard to say at the moment. I thought it was a curious last session from England. What we will do, though, is start with a quote from Ishant Sharma, who registered his 300th test wicket today. Congratulations to him. Now, he said this: if we get a good start tomorrow, I'm sure we can chase this down. We have a fearless batting lineup and we're very positive about this. Here's a tweet from Simon Hughes, the analyst, who said early in the day, England have got enough. India won't even get 250. So somewhere between, I don't know, you might be right, Ishant might be right, or perhaps there might be somewhere in between the two. So India not getting 250, or India can break the world record and score 420 that they need for victory. They need a further 381 on the final day, and England need 9 wickets. It's been a brilliant, whatever happens, it's been a brilliant start to the series and a fascinating test match with the possibility of more drama, excitement to come. Or who knows, perhaps it's going to be an anticlimax.
It's been a brilliant start to the year, test match wise, hasn't it? With the results in Sri Lanka and Bangladesh losing to West Indies and the way that England have started so well in this series. I mean, who the hell was Simon? Who the hell is Simon Hughes making those sort of predictions? I just think, you know, England had a lot of difficulty getting up to the score they made in the end. And they were a bit ponderous in that last session. I think they were trying to delay the time in which they wanted to bowl. I think there was a strategy there. The strategy was, we want 10 or 11 overs tonight with the new ball. And then when they come to the morning, that new ball will still be reasonably hard, in good shape, but it will have started reverse swinging. Because I've noticed in this test match that the reverse swing has started to happen really in about 10 or 11 overs because it gets cut up, scuffed up the ball so quickly. So they're looking at sort of two bites of the cherry, a nice hard ball, obviously, at the end of play today, 10 overs or so. And then the ball's only 10 or 11 overs old in the morning. So it'll still be firm, but should be moving around a fair bit as well with that reverse swing. That's what they looked at. I think they were just overthinking it a bit, to be honest. I think it was you need a lot of time to win this game. You know, perhaps current results have slightly questioned or, you know, kind of thrown the cat amongst the pigeons a little bit because, you know, we've seen a 390 chase by the West Indies. The Indians themselves chased a score in Brisbane as well, a very high score. Of course, India also chased a high score, 380-odd in Chennai in, when was that,
13 years ago, it was.
13 years ago, 2006, 2007. So
2008.
So, you know, there are all those kind of factors, but, you know, it happens very rarely. And actually, if you see certainly the Brisbane pitch, which India scored that chased that score in
328.
The Chennai pitch in 2008 and that Bangladesh pitch, they were flat. They did nothing. This pitch has a lot in it for the bowlers. And the reason why I said I don't think India will make 250 is because there are 10 very difficult to play deliveries in that pitch in the next 60 odd overs. One of them we've already seen that bowled out Rohit Sharma, and there's 9 more just waiting for those Indian batsmen. And bear in mind also, the 3 lower order Indian batsmen are not much good. So actually, England really only need to take 7 wickets, in my view.
Right. Well, bullish confidence from you. Let's just break down that final session today. I think England have played until tea today. England have played this test match almost perfectly. It's been a brilliant performance from them. I just wonder whether they seem to just lose their nerve a bit in that final session. They were scoring in their innings. They were scoring at 4.5 runs per over. They're playing all sorts of shots, reverse sweeps. Well, Luke Pope came out there, played positively right from the start. Joe Root played a gem of an innings. And he was dismissed by a really good ball from Bumrah that kept low. And there's something there for England on the final day for their seam bowlers. I know the focus is on the spinners, but also the seam bowlers, the pace bowlers can have a say on the final day. And then Pope was reverse sweeping, caught at mid-wicket. They were scoring 4.5 runs per over. So then they were 371 runs ahead. And then Best and Butler were together, and they just started blocking it. Best started blocking it. It must have been under orders. And they scored for the rest of their innings at 2.5 runs per over. There was a possibility of, say, having 22 overs, 23 overs at India this evening. In the end, that went down to 13. So it's sort of like a chunk, really, of 10 overs. And you feel they could have scored the runs that they did score in the time, in a shorter space of time, with a bit more positivity. But they just completely, it was like a ship sailing one particular course, and then they just veered off a completely different direction. So it was curious, really, and sort of perplexing. You said that India won't get 250. Well, England were 371 ahead. What do you think? We've talked about the possibility of, you know, they want that hard new ball in the morning, so they wanted to only bowl India for the last 50 minutes. I mean, is that the way you do it? Is that the way teams normally do it?
It's a good question. And I think, you know, it is a bit over defensive or over cautious, but I think it's partly because it's the first test of the series. If you're one down with one test, you're right. And it's this sort of, maybe, you know, this English reserve is still lurking in our midst, even though we've won the Cricket World Cup in 2019 by being fearless and aggressive and never shirking from the attacking option, the positive option. Maybe there is still latently this slight caution hanging around, which says, you know, don't take a risk kind of thing. And I think, it would have been justifiable to have, you know, been much more attacking. Well, it would have been compulsory to be much more attacking if England were one down in the series, or it was the last test of the series or something, and they had to win it to level the series.
This is their opportunity.
But this is their great... No, you're right. But I think, I suppose, what you're saying also is that they've put a huge amount of effort into the first 4 days of cricket and got into a tremendous situation. Nagging away at them is, we don't want to relinquish all that by a foolhardy declaration just a little bit earlier than we'd like, where, you know, and suddenly a Rishabh Pant and a Virat Kohli and, you know, Shubman Gill play brilliantly, we lose a game having played all the cricket for 4 days in the first test of the series. We don't want to take any risks, but often you have to risk slightly losing to win.
Yeah, and also as well, I thought, in which case, if that's how they felt, that they didn't want to take a risk when it came down to it. Well, I mean, they played extremely positively, and you could almost say recklessly up until the time they got 371 on the board. So they could have played it a completely different way, which was actually to sit on the splice a bit, just nudge it and knock it around, and then get to about a 340 lead with 8 wickets in hand, and then really go for it in the last, you know, 10 overs, 12 overs. So, you know, with batsmen in. So it just seemed a really curious approach. It was like the brakes were slammed on at 371, but they still had Butler and Best there. Okay, perhaps there wasn't a great deal to come.
Yeah, that's the point, I think. I mean, that's if we go back to that England one day side, you know, because they had Plunkett and Rashid and people like that down the order who could all bat really well, you can be fearless down to number 9 or 10. And obviously, it's a different format of the game. In this test side, with Archer's test average at a rather sort of shambolic 8 at the moment, but a bit disappointing, really, because he's much better than that. And he likes to call himself an all-rounder. And then Leach and Anderson after that, England don't have a very strong tail. So Best is, I suppose, is their last sort of safety valve. And although Jack Leach's got a 92. I mean, so I don't know why they're worrying, really.
So go for it until you're 6 down. Was that basically it?
I guess, yeah.
And then put the brakes on and then have to sort of regroup. Well, I mean, that's what they did. So presumably that must have been the tactics. We'll see where we are until we're 6 down. And then after that, we'll play a bit more carefully.
They always had a time they wanted to declare by, didn't they? Or be bowled out by. And that time was, you know, now round about an hour before the end.
But is that enough? That's what I'm saying. I mean, they were.
Well, we'll find out tomorrow, won't we?
Yeah,
you live or die by these decisions as England captain and England coach, and it may be highly superbly vindicated, and it may be that everyone descends on them because they were overcautious and batted on too long. And funnily enough, Alistair Cook in the Channel 4 studio was saying that he reflects on one series that, in fact, I think it was the last series.
The Rajkot game, wasn't it?
He agrees now they batted on too long.
Yeah, well, in that match, they had 310 in the bank, or there and thereabouts. And I think they only had about 53 overs. And the pitch was doing all sorts, and India finished 179 for 6. But perhaps there is this that respect, fear possibility of India's batting lineup. I mean, is you don't quite know what it's going to come up with. And we saw Ishant at the start there saying, yeah, you know, we can win this game. And there's Kohli, and then there's Washington Sundar was superb today, and Pant. I mean, he's a sort of the joker in the pack, Pant, isn't he? That, you know, who knows? He could go out there and knock 100. He's done 100 on the last day of the last test series that England played against India, albeit at the Oval. Mind you, the ball, I remember one delivery that Rashid bowled to KL Rahul. It ragged from well outside the leg stump and bowled him off stump. So, I mean, that was by no means a straightforward pitch on the final day. So, I mean, it's easy to, I totally accept it's easy to sit here and say, why aren't they doing this? Why aren't they doing that?
It's why we love test cricket, isn't it?
It is. Well, everyone's
because you get all these issues cropping up all the time.
And you're right. The point is, it doesn't mean England can't win from here. And they absolutely can. And they are in a winning position or a potential winning position. They've got, as you say, there must be 9 balls or 14 balls on the final day with a wicket on it. Might be that not all the wicket taking balls, if you see what I mean, take a wicket, because sometimes there's a drop catch or whatever, you get a bit of luck and you just put it wide of the keeper or wide of the slip fielder when you've actually sort of potentially created a chance. But you know, I just, what I suppose the thing is, it's that feeling that what if India are 7-8 down tomorrow and sort of clinging on in the last few overs on about 250 for 8. And you'll look back and you'll go, could we have done that a bit differently?
Look back on it like that, certainly. But I suppose if you started out at the beginning of the series and you said, well, you've played most of the cricket, outplayed India for all of it, you haven't got a win, but at least you haven't lost the game, I guess that's not a bad outcome, but you do feel it's a missed opportunity. You spoke to John Lewis, the England bowling coach, didn't you, after play? So why don't we hear what he's got to say about it from the England's camp perspective?
I think the guys were positive in the way they played. And I don't think it's a straightforward pitch to just go and be reckless in trying to score runs. But we were very comfortable with the amount of overs we wanted to bowl tonight, and that obviously gives us a bit of a bite with a second new ball tomorrow if required. I think 20 overs or so with the new ball tomorrow. So in terms of the position of the game, we're really comfortable with where we're at. It's obviously first game of the series, and whilst you want to get off to a really strong start, you don't really want to give India a chance to win. However, saying that, they've got some fine players, and you also want to be able to have attacking fielders the whole day, especially to our spin bowlers around the bat. And so to get as much many runs as we can and to keep the rate high for them, you know, feels like our best chance to win the game.
There seemed to be a clear change in tactics, though, when Ollie Pope was out. It was 4.5 and over until then, and then it turned into 2.5 over for the rest of the innings. Was there a sort of conversation about that? Actually, we need to change course here.
No, not necessarily. I think the guys just tried to play the situation as best they could. You know, it wasn't straightforward on a turn in wicket with Ashwin bowling well. It's not straightforward to just go out and smack the ball around all over the place. You know, Joe's in the form of his life and he scored at a really good rate. You know, which makes he makes the game look a lot easier than other players. So we're very comfortable and confident in the position we're in.
There'll be a lot of focus on the spin tomorrow. What sort of role do you think the pace bowlers will have to play tomorrow?
Well, I think you saw with the Indian side, they mix their spinners and their seamers really nicely. There's a patch on the wicket where I think it's about 7 meters down, 7 meter length, on just outside off from the pavilion end here, where there's some variable bounce and there's some puffs of dust sometimes where the wicket's breaking up. So, and there will also be reverse swing. We've seen reverse swing throughout this game. But the pace of the wicket is that the ball doesn't really carry that much to the keeper, so you have to try and beat the batsman on the inside of his bat rather than on the outside. Our fast bowlers will have a job to play, and they just need to really, all the bowlers really need to do their basics really well tomorrow, and I think we'll come out on top.
Okay, that's John Lewis, who's the England bowling consultant on this tour, the pace bowling consultant, because Jeetan Patel is looking after the spinners. Yoz, is there any way India can win this test match? They need a world record, 420. I know we've seen there's other games around Asia where, you know, Bangladesh lost to West Indies chasing down nearly 400 in the fourth innings. And South Africa, they threatened to do it against Pakistan, but of course they didn't do it. That's the point, did they? They didn't win in Rawalpindi. They collapsed on the final day and Pakistan won. Is there any way, do you think, India can win this match? Having said India are going to be bowled out for 250, do you give them any chance at all, India?
If India win this game, I will take a piece out of my new gadget called the Field Shield, which is made of very thick wood and with magnetic kind of fielders on it. I'll bite it and take a piece out of it with my teeth if India wins.
You'll eat your shield, will you?
I'll eat my shield.
Well,
and then I won't have it to use anymore. So I'll be praying that I paid good money for that. I don't know if people saw it on telly. It's a sort of magnetic pitch, really. A bit of a kind of bit low tech, I suppose, but people seem to quite like it.
So someone on Twitter to me said it looked like something came out of the Clangers, that old
program.
The moon on the Clangers.
The finger bobs.
Well, no, it worked for me. It was like the field, wasn't it? So you could show people the field. It looked a bit like Bruce Oxenford's protective shield to me, you know, that he wears when he's umpiring.
The one-day games, yeah. Yeah, well, it could certainly work for that. I mean, I described it as something that Alfred the Great might have wielded in Anglo-Saxon times, but with a bit of a Sabutio pitch sort of stuck onto it so that it had an application for cricket.
Well, what I love, Yoz, is you are thinking left field the whole time. So anyway, there you were with your shield on TV and a ball in one hand. Goodness knows what you're saying. I couldn't hear you. We just had the pictures in our commentary box, but you were explaining something away. I'm not quite sure what it was.
It was to do with the change of field, actually, for Kohli's wicket, moving a fielder over onto the other side. I just think that Channel 4 having the cricket at the moment, terrestrial TV, an audience, you know, primarily people stuck at home with nowhere to go, and obviously an interesting story unfolding. Mm-hmm. I just think that there's a lot of people there who might be tuning in who don't really understand the game. And it's quite nice, actually. I had an email from Jeffrey, our friend Sir Jeffrey, saying, well done for getting back on Channel 4. And by the way, not only was I interested in your stuff, but so was Rachel. And normally, she's not really interested in cricket. Well, because he's bored her so rigid about cricket.
Well, exactly.
She's not interested anymore. But she said she was interested in that. So that's a good sign. So I think there's, you know, there are people out there who are kind of intrigued by cricket, but don't really understand it. So things like field settings, I don't think we do enough about it, actually. I mean, there's a lot of description. You know, you are brilliant at describing the field, but sometimes you want to see why those fielders are arranged as they are and what changes can be made and what effect that has.
Yeah, I mean, I've made this point before. Sometimes I'm switching to the sports channels and I light on baseball. And I don't understand the basics of baseball, but I've always got lots of questions that I want to ask. You know, why this, why that? And, you know, if that probably for the committed, it's probably a bit annoying, isn't it, if someone's explaining that the whole time. If you're coming newish to the game and you've got a reasonable grasp of sort of sporting tactics, it's actually quite nice to have someone explain something to you. I mean, probably it won't answer all your questions all the time, but it is nice to have an explainer there as well, as long as I suppose it's not done in a really sort of dumbed down, really patronizing way. But it is about engaging with an audience, and there will be people who come to it new who like cricket. I think you'd probably just sit in front of a test match, you'd have to like cricket rather than just switch it on and think, what on earth is this, if you're looking for a soap opera or something or whatever, I don't know. But you know, some people might, you know, end up doing that.
Well, sometimes your father or your mother says to a child, look, this cricket's great, you know, watch this. And they look at it and they don't really understand it or anything. And so they soon lose interest. Mm. So I just think we have to use as many tools as we can to keep them interested. And actually, I had a nice email from a guy saying that, you know, you watch the game, but you don't sometimes know what to look out for. Just little bits of analysis can help train the eye to look for something, you know, even if it doesn't happen, you can look out for something to see if it makes any difference, I suppose. So I think we just have to keep working hard, because it's a complicated, mysterious game. And whether your technology is low or high tech, it's all going to help people's appreciation, hopefully.
Well, let's hope we don't need a new shield after tomorrow's play, because that will probably...
I'm not confident of being able to bite into it, actually. Pretty heavy duty.
Hold on, Yoz. No, I'm holding you to that. If India do win, you're going to have to take a chunk.
I didn't
say
I'd swallow it. I just said I'd bite it.
Right, okay. So it might still be intact for further use. So talk about the tactics then. What are we going to have to look out for on the final day in this test match? A lot of focus on the spinners, of course, Leach and Best. One thing John Lewis said there, he said the fact we got these runs, and they are in the bank, the fact that England got all these runs means we can have men around the bat. And yet in the closing overs, we still had deep cover for the spinners. And Tuffers was in the commentary box, and he was going spare as a left arm spinner. He was saying, why does he need a man back? You know, get a few men in, especially, you know, with two overs left and India looking to defend. He said, if they hit you for four, it doesn't matter, but you might get a catch close in on the offside or a leg slip off Dom Best. So what would be interesting tomorrow is to see how Root plays it in terms of attack versus defence, whether he can get men around the bat.
It's a perfectly good point. I think that it betrays England's lack of confidence in their spinners, or indeed the spinners' own lack of confidence in being able to maintain control, and conceding a lot of boundaries will undermine their own resolve. That's a shame, and that's why it's a disadvantage going into the game with such inexperienced spinners. But in fact, I think Archer and to a lesser extent Anderson could be the men to take the wickets. I mean, look at what Jasprit Bumrah was producing this afternoon. He came into the attack relatively late, but he was bending the ball both ways, reverse swinging it both ways, and getting the odd one to lift as well and keep low. But Joe Root got one which snaked back and kept low. I think but those two bowlers, Anderson and Archer, have got to really run in hard and look to hit a length, just around a length. The pitch is dusting up, the odd one's going through the top, the odd one's keeping low. It's reverse swinging. It's a lovely situation if you're a seam bowler, actually. So I can see them being creating the main openings and the spinners just coming in with sort of two or three wickets here and there.
I wonder if Ben Stokes got a part to play on the final day of this test match as well. He's the sort of player in a situation like this, if England did need a wicket or two, could sort of grasp the nettle. He's that sort of cricketer. He only bowled six overs in the first innings, but on a pitch that is, you know, perhaps a bit unpredictable in the final and reverse swing as well, he's one of those sort of bowlers that can make it happen. So England have got options. They've got two relatively inexperienced spinners, and they're up against an excellent Indian batting lineup who were very positive in the first innings. I wonder if getting rid of Pujara early is the key. He's the sort of player that can just resist you all day, can make it so difficult for you in a situation like that. I'm sort of a bit torn, really, when I look at the final day. I mean, I agree with you, Yoz. I think, you know, you feel there are, you know, there's bound to be a dozen wicket-taking balls out there tomorrow, and that, you know, England should be good enough to go on and win this Test match. On the other hand, seeing the way Pujara and Gill played tonight after the dismissal of Rohit Sharma, they look very calm, assured. You'll wonder whether India might end the day tomorrow on something like, you know, 290 for four or something like that, you know, and 290 for five and bat the day out. But, if it were the other way round, if England were one down going into tomorrow with, you know, Ashwin and Bumrah, etc., I don't think you'd give them much chance of surviving. It'd be very, very difficult. They might, you know, they might hold on grimly. But India against England's bowling attack, they must have some sort of chance of saving the game. I'm a bit torn, really. I think you can argue it both ways. I'm sitting on the fence. I just don't know. That's the enjoyment.
You always sit on the fence.
Well, no, you haven't. I accept that. You said India not going to get 250. I reckon, they'll get more than 250.
Lots of Indian fans have already encouraged their other fans to screen grab my comment about India not getting 250 and throw it back at me tomorrow. Well, you know, I might have to lie low for a couple of days, but I would say if I'm the bowling attack now, I'm thinking we need 7 or 8 unplayable deliveries or good deliveries, which would take the wickets. That's all we need in 90 overs. So it's one every 10 overs, basically. Just one wicked delivery. There's no hiding place. If you make a mistake as a batsman, you're gone. Even though they're looking comfortable, it just needs that one ball. So I'm very confident that that England will be able to do it. And I suppose the other thing that the England team could do before the last day is they can phone Steve Finn. And the reason for that is because he was part of that match-winning bowling attack in Calcutta in 2012, which sealed the victory in that series. And again, the reason I mention him is because he's in our virtual cricket club this Thursday, the 11th of February. And one of the reasons I picked him, actually, to come in our virtual cricket club was because of his impact in that series in 2012. So you can sign up to hear his thoughts about this Test match and also what he's been doing over the last few years. What he's intending to do in the next few years, perhaps. If you go to worldsbestcricketclub.com and sign up to our virtual cricket club, we have Steve Finn this Thursday and Ian Smith, the New Zealand commentator, next Thursday. So hope you can join us for that. And, well, our predictions are hanging in the air for the last day of this Chennai game. We can't wait to see what happens, and hopefully it'll be an England victory. But whatever happens, it's bound to be compelling. Of course, you can watch it all on Channel 4 Live, or you can listen to Simon on the BBC Social, or you can do both at the same time. And hope you'll join us for tomorrow for our look back at the final day's play.
Yeah, please join us. Yoz has gone for an England victory. I'm not sure.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.